I'm so glad that you're back this evening. I hope that everyone has had a good day and has had some time to reflect on the things that were said this morning and perhaps to look in anticipation of what might be said this evening. And it's important that we're here this evening because we're going to talk about something that affects every one of us. As I mentioned at the close of our service this morning, we've had several birthdays, but I think we got a few coming up, and the year will soon be gone. Time continues to pass. And as time continues to pass, we realize that we're getting older. Matter of fact, some have recently discovered some of the wonders of getting older. New pains, new discomforts, new issues, and things like that. But it is a fact of life that as life continues, we get older. And we're approaching that long, long home. For a text this evening, I've chosen Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. One of many, many passages that talk about the length of time that we are here on earth and what happens to us at the conclusion of our time here on earth. Let's turn there and let's look at this. Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. And it reads, "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 115 years. And we think about, wow, he lived a long, long time. There are many people in the Bible that lived older than Abraham. But notice what it says about Abraham in verse 8. "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Let me give you a list of words. Heating pad. Excedrin. Bengay. More rest needed. I could go on and on. As I said, the church has had several birthdays in December, and we're all getting older. And the things I listed here are things in our modern time that have become more familiar and sometimes more needed as we get older. And there are many things that indicate aging. Oftentimes people talk about the young people and see children scurrying about and, man, I wish I had their energy. At one time we had that energy, but it's no longer as easily accessible as it once was. We may not be able to accomplish many of the things we once did, or if we do, it takes longer, requires more breaks. And we oftentimes are reminded by people who love us and care for us that, hey, you're not 40 anymore, because we're getting older. But something about Abraham needs to be pointed out. We know he died. There are many people that died, and there are many places that talk about death in the Bible. But Abraham served God throughout his years, including his advanced years. Genesis chapter 21, reading verses 3 through 5, are just a few verses that show where an older Abraham continued to serve God and provide an excellent example for us as we continue to age. We know that at an advanced age that he bore a son. And this is what this passage is talking about. "And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him." You think, well, he's very old. And yes, 100 is advanced age. Even if you lived 300 years, 100 would be a third of that life, wouldn't it? But notice what he did. The command of God was that everyone born to Abraham was to be circumcised on the 8th day. And even in his advanced years, he attended to the commandments of God. Many great things have been accomplished by those that are faithful to God with more than just a few years on them. Christians need to understand that with age, there are still responsibilities. And so as we consider the phrase, as we get older. Now, let's consider what would come after that phrase in the form of instruction. As we get older, we must never allow our lives to drift from God. You know, the focus is oftentimes on the younger people, those who are going about life, those who are focusing on the things of life and somehow don't pay as much attention, we think, on the things that they should. And we tell them, don't allow your life to drift from God. That needs to be taught to the older people as well. Because at any age, at any phase of our physical lives, we can drift from God. And as you turn to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4, know that God understands the difficulties that come with age, but He does not forget us. God created humanity. God created man and woman, and He put within them the means of procreation and knew that people would live a span of life, a span of time in life, and then would pass from this life. But there in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 through 4, we see that God promised Israel success, provided that they did not drift from God. And notice, as we read this passage, that it doesn't matter if you're young or old. If we remain connected to God, He will not forsake us. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am He, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Now, when we read this, we needn't think that Israel had a good time of things or an easy time or that their life wasn't fraught with pains and discomfort. And as they got older, that they also had the things that go along with old age, because they did. But God had a plan for Israel, the nation of Israel. And it was through Israel that Christ would come. It is through Christ that we can draw near to God. And those who would remain connected to God, who would not drift away from Him, it was through that remnant that God brought about Christ and the plan. And as we age, we should never allow our connection to God to be diminished. Another familiar passage relative to age, whether people realize it or not, is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Now, you no doubt have read this passage and maybe wondered about what some of the phraseology means. But it describes some difficulties that come along with aging. And these difficulties culminate with the cessation of life. And it talks about what happens with the body and what happens with the spirit of man. As Solomon was directed to write here, we read, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." And then he provides for us a description of aging, of getting older. And he uses a number of terms that maybe we don't use so much today. In verse 3, he says, "In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble." He's talking about the hands. As we get older and as we weaken, our muscles and things do not work as well as they once did. "And the strong men, the legs, shall bow themselves. And the grinders, the teeth, cease because they are few. And those that look out the windows," he's describing the eyes there, "be darkened." We know that vision sometimes diminishes with age. "And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low." And I kind of had to ask about this one. But just to be sure, we understand when there are few teeth, there's less eating. "And he shall rise up at the voice of a bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low." The hearing is diminished. "Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and the desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long, long home." The demise of all humans. we know that this is talking about death, because it said the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loose, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. We know that our life is going to produce changes within our bodies as we get older. We're not going to be as we were when we were young and vibrant and full of energy and full of strength. But as we age, our commitment to God should continue to grow. I am very saddened when I hear about a faithful servant of God who has no health issues, but he's done it for 40 years or 50 years, preached the gospel, announces that he's going to retire. I've heard several faithful gospel preachers, when asked, when are you going to retire? I'll retire when I expire. And some preached up to the very day or week of their death. Some continue to serve God. We cannot retire from serving God. If we retire from serving God, regardless of what age we are, we have drifted away from God. And that drift will continue in ever-increasing degree. As we age, our commitment to God should grow, and that earthly things should lose their luster. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 36 through 37. You're probably a little more familiar with Matthew's account of this particular question. But this is the Lord speaking, and he's asking a question relative to what we might amass here on this earth, what we might gain here on this earth. And is any of that worth it? Is any of that worth losing the soul? For what shall profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Those who give something in exchange for their soul is because they have allowed themselves to drift from God. As we get older, the shortness of life becomes more clear. I've noticed this about older people. And thankfully, I've not heard it from any of you all, so I know that we're all not getting that old. But I've heard from older people, and they begin to talk about death, because the realization of death becomes more real. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, perhaps this is the realization that they have. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And we look back on our lives and we think about it. I'm just amazed when I look back and I think at what age I am. Look back and see how short of a time that really is. We've had opportunity to do things. We've perhaps moved from location to location, met different people, established relationships, done a number of different things. But how little of time it is. But notice at the conclusion of that verse, and then vanisheth away. As we get older, not allowing ourselves to drift from God, we should learn to depend more and more on God. And you say, how can I do that? I ask God for everything. Depending upon God is more than just asking Him for things. It is using the things that God has given us to have the things that we need. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, the saints at Philippi were assured by the Spirit through the pen of Paul that God would provide for the soul. That's the provision that we need to worry about. When you stop and think about it, when you die, what do you need? Do you need clothes? Nah. Do you need food? No, you've already had your time for clothes and food and cars and houses and boats and whatever else you might have gotten. But there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This was written to Christians about their soul. God has provided everything or all things that we need. all things that pertain to life and godliness. And they are readily ours if we don't drift away from God. And so as we get older, let's don't drift away from God. In Psalms chapter 34 and verse 10, we see an indication that the good things of this life, or the opportunities to serve God, are readily available even as we get older. He had the psalmist state it this way: the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We're going to find ways to serve God and do His will in accordance to His word if we don't drift from God, regardless of our age. Secondly, as we get older, we must never allow our zeal to waver. One of the most exciting things is to teach a person about their soul, for them to come to the realization of the fact that they need to be baptized into Christ, they need to become a child of God, and to see that person have that zeal. But one of the saddest things ever is to see that zeal wane. It might be tempting to think that we've already done enough, and we might be tempted to leave much of the work to the younger Christians. I've heard people say, I've been doing this for 20 years. It's time for somebody else. Do we still have the ability? I think so. What is lacking then? The zeal. And it should never waver. There are those who might become complacent as they get older, not willing to press on when they're younger. Yes, it's harder. Yes, it's more difficult. But we should have learned more during that time. We should have had that experience, knowing that doors are going to be slammed in our face and telephones are going to be hung up and people are going to say, I just don't want to hear it. But stop and consider, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. The spiritual side of the faithful Christian, regardless of age, should be renewed day by day. Now, that's not something that happens automatically. That's not something that's going to happen just because you want it to happen. You know, I'd love to lose 5 pounds so that my physical situation would fit better in my suits. But it's not going to happen automatically. And this particular passage talks about the outward man, or the physical as well as the spiritual. And the Apostle Paul, realizing and knowing, as the Spirit had him write this, yes, the body's going to fail, but our zeal for God should never fail. And that's why he wrote there, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We might be weak and infirm physically, but we can be strong spiritually at every age. As a young person, as an adolescent, as a young adult, as a mature adult, and even as an old adult. Now turn with me to another familiar passage, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. This is the Lord speaking to Israel, but it applies to God's people of every dispensation. If we rely upon the Lord, we will be renewed day by day. We have to rely upon His word. His word gives us the directions. His word gives us the instruction of how to live life, how to be pleasing to God. But the Lord had the prophet Isaiah put it this way: but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is he saying there? He says that God provides strength spiritually. And notice that God did not limit this to the young. It applies even to us, the young at heart. But willing to put forth the effort. Willing to continue to press on, to set the right example, to help the young ones realize what we are to do for the cause of Christ. In fact, if you think about it, much responsibility is laid at the feet of those who are older. Let's go back to what many have determined to be the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job. And in Job chapter 12 and verse 12, we can see that there was a discourse going on between Job and his supposed friends. These who came and they saw his wretched condition, and they couldn't even say a word. They just sat down there with him. And when they finally found their voice, what did they do? They criticized. They said, Job, you have had to have done something. You brought this on yourselves. But Job 12:12 contains some of his words, indicating that it had been apparent for a long time that older folks have something the younger folks need and should appreciate. He said there, with the ancient is wisdom and length of days understanding. You know, I've heard this from a number of young folks down through the years. When the grandfather or the grandmother has passed away, you know, I wish I would have recorded those stories. You know, I wish I would have written down the things that he taught us and told us. Even some of the things that were just events that occurred in the family. Because once they're gone and the memory of those things are gone forever. But notice, with the ancient is wisdom, and in the length of days, understanding. I wish more young folks would heed the older folks. Those who have walked in the old paths. Those who have sought the good way. Those who have, in fact, pledged themselves and kept themselves walking in accordance to the Word of God. Again in Job, this time in chapter 32, verses 7 and 8, a young man gets to speak. It's interesting as you read this and you see what is going on here. He kept his tongue for a while. And then he rebukes the older so-called friends of Job for finding fault in Job without a cause. And even though he is younger than they, his advice is sage. And it shows how one, as they age, grow in understanding. There we read, I said days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. That's profound, isn't it? You know, the fact of the matter is, the older we get, the more wise we should be. Now, let's read the next verse, and we'll see where that wisdom comes from. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Notice where understanding originates. Why? Because their zeal to know what God would have done, what God had written or said, has not diminished. You know, when you stop and think about it, and we get older, and I mean this from the standpoint of not having to check in at the job 9 to 5 every day, or in some cases 9 to 7, putting forth every effort to make a dollar, to pay the bills, to house the family, to take care of that which you have been entrusted with. When we get to the time when we retire from regular jobs, what do? You know how many people I've ever heard say, I am so thankful that now I have so much more time to spend in the Word of God. Very few. What did most of them say? Now it's time to live it up, to travel, to go do this, to go do that, to do what I want to do. As we get older, the older we are, the more time we have to read, to study, to meditate upon God's Word. And we should utilize that time for that purpose. And I know we all still have things to do. I always thought it was crazy. And we're talking about getting older. And I've heard people who had retired who said, I don't know how I got anything done when I was working, because now that I'm retired, I don't have any time to get the things that I need to do done. And I thought, well, how stupid is that? Until I no longer worked in the workaday world. Where does the time go? But what should we be spending it on? As we get older, We should take that time to read, study, meditate upon God's Word, communicate with our brethren, reason together out of the Scriptures. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5 from the New Testament, we see also that the responsibility is upon older Christians. And this teaching is not just relative to the assembly, but it applies to all of the life of the Christian who has more than just a few years on them. Notice, as Titus is given this instruction, that the aged men be sober. That means serious, not talking about one who one time imbibed. Then it'd be serious, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Incidentally, guess how one becomes sound in the faith? By studying the Word of God, by dwelling in the Word of God constantly, in charity, which is love. All of these, you can go back to the Word of God, every one of them, in patience. Verse 3 says, the aged women ought likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. What are they to do? That they may teach the young women to be sober, serious-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. After all, stop and think about it. How is it that the young people are being taught by the older people? You know, I hear people today say, boy, these young people today, they just don't know anything. Oops, whose fault is that? We look at some of the young people today and say, you know, they don't know the Bible. Oops, whose fault is that? Just something to think about. As we go back to Joshua, the Old Testament, this time in chapter 14 and verse 12, we can see about Caleb's zeal. Stop and think about the life of Caleb. He obviously was above 20 years old when they left Egypt. He was one of the spies. He was one of the two spies who came back with a positive report. We can do this. With God, we can do it all. It doesn't matter how big these people are, how many there are. Look at this land, how rich it is. We can do this. And then he wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And now, at 85 years old, he was strong in body. He was strong in mind. But most importantly, he was strong in faith. I remember reading this. A land was available. And there in verse 12, he says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake of in that day, or spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 85 years old. He didn't say, hey, I need a nice flat spot here to pitch my tent. He said, I'll take it. And with the Lord's help, I'll show him what an old man can do. And he did it. Just because we have a few years on us doesn't mean that we need to be put out to pasture. Our time is not over until we leave this earth, until we breathe our last breath. There's work we all can do. And God recognizes the value of older people. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 31. We see here that age, provided that one that possesses it meets the Lord's criteria, have something special. There's a condition stated here. You know, many of us, when I look out here and I see, I better change that. One or two of us have developed gray hair, those of us who still have hair. And that's what this passage is talking about. But there is a condition associated with it. The hoary gray head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. What does he say? He says, with age, there is to be glory if that age is attached to and associated with righteousness. As we get older, we should never let our zeal to waver, and we stop and think about in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32, as God had Moses give his law to Israel. Israel was to respect those of age because of their life experience, because of their zeal, because of their knowledge, and because of their wisdom. And I don't know when it began, but somewhere along the line, back in the day, young people decided that their parents didn't know so much. And most of us who ultimately became parents ourselves and then had that situation reversed on us realized when we thought the parents didn't know anything, parents knew a lot more than we thought they did. This was a command of God. He said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, again, the gray head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God. I am the Lord. Matter of fact, God had set it up in that plan for the young adults that had children to teach those children, to teach them the honor of God, the glory of God, the commandments of God. When? Where? In the home, when they went to bed at night, when they got up in the morning, when they walked by the wayside, when they worked. Always teaching them the word of God. Why? So that their zeal would not waver. As we get older, we must not allow our lives to drift from God. As we get older, we must not ever allow our zeal to waver. And as we get older, we need to be ready to take that step into eternity. Why? Because we're closer now than we've ever been. You know, my hope is that everyone in this room dies of old age. Now, what does that really mean? It means that I wish that all have a long, fruitful, and productive life. There are many reasons that people pass from this life, but my desire is that all would prepare themselves to step into eternity. You know, in the death of a faithful child of God, while sorrow comes, it's really a joyous occasion. It's hard to see the joy in it, to realize at the moment when the pain and the suffering and the grief is there. But it is a joyous occasion. As we get older, as we approach that step into eternity, the pains and the struggles of this life are almost done. I don't know how old Paul was when Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24 was written. But Paul was ready to depart. I know that at one point he called himself the aged. But how was he ready to depart? Willing to be faithful unto God, to serve God for the benefit of his brethren. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live life in the flesh, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. While we are helping others, while we're helping them grow, while we're helping them to come to an understanding of the truth, we need to make sure that we are ready to take that step into eternity. We're going to go into eternity one way or the other. There's an eternity waiting for everyone. But we need to be ready to take that step into the eternity that God has provided for those who are obedient and faithful. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 17, beginning, shows that the faithful Christian, even in advanced age, has a wonderful eternity awaiting them. As the Apostle Paul wrote this, no doubt, he was felt the pain and the discomfort of the things that had happened to him. And yet, the Spirit had him write it this way, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're going to pass away. But the things which are not seen are eternal. And in chapter 5, verse 1, we see he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." You know why that is? Because there is no more pain. There is no more suffering. There is no more aging. There's just peace and being in the presence of God. He says, "If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up as life." When you stop and think about it, we should really approach this stage, death, in the same manner as the faithful that came before us. And there is no better place to go to talk about the faithful than Hebrews chapter 11. This time we're going to read verses 13 through 16. This should be a very familiar passage, but it comes at the conclusion of a long list of people who spent their time here on earth faithfully serving God, looking for what God had promised. He says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Stop and think about that. Realizing and understanding that it had what God had promised had not been made available to man yet. But they still believed them. They saw them afar off. They were persuaded of them, they embraced them, and they confessed, "Hey, we're just spending our time here as strangers and pilgrims on this earth, desiring to be with God. For they that say such things desire plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." But look at verse 16. "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." It's a lot to think about. Just these three points about as we get older, never allowing our lives to depart from God, never allowing our zeal to waver, being ready to step into eternity. That's because some of us might not get much older. We don't know when death is going to be ours. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 tells Christians what they are to do until that time, until when our life here on earth is finished. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." As we get older, we should look forward to the time of the return of Christ or to the cessation of our life. But we should do so looking for that blessed hope, looking to serve God, to do His will. You know, as we age, there are often difficulties we face. But we can't let those difficulties cause us to lose sight of the broader picture. God knows and God cares. God has provided for the faithful regardless of our years here on earth. And that provision gives us the promise of a life eternal with Him. But before one can look forward to that life, they must obey the gospel. You know what? If they don't obey the gospel, they're still going to get older, perhaps. They're still going to die. But then they have not that blessed hope. It is important then for all to know, before they get too much older, what the gospel plan is and how to follow that plan, how to participate in it and to be born into the kingdom, to be added to the church. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we see that one must hear. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must believe, as John 8:24 tells us, "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die and your sins. One must also repent. Matter of fact, when the first time that question was asked about what a person is to do because their souls were lost, Peter said unto them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent. And then he also told them, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. One must confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As Matthew 10 and verse 32, Jesus himself said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus also alluded to the one baptism of Ephesians. In Mark 16 and verse 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. But it is important as we live our lives and as we become older, even if we have obeyed the gospel, we've been baptized into Christ, we've become children of God, we've got to remain faithful unto death. And the fact of the matter is, regardless of our age, we can become entangled in the world. We can lose our soul. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, we see, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. All of their time here on earth is for nothing. Why? Because they have separated themselves from God because of sin, because of the refusal to remain faithful to Him. But God provided a provision for that as well. They're called the second law of pardon. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. If you've not obeyed the gospel, it matters not what age you are. If you understand what has been said, you've reached then the age of accountability. You have responsibility for your own soul. You're going to have the opportunity to obey the gospel. But regardless of the age that you are, you find yourself drifting away from God, you need to take care of that situation and do it right now. We're going to stand and we're going to sing that song that was announced. We ask if anybody is drifting and they need to return to God in repentance and prayer. Now is the time to do so, as together we stand and sing.